This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS PM, nipples are funny.
I like my bananas without horse sperm.
Yeah, better. Dan stares at me from his darkened room.
Take a tincture. It'll last longer.
Dan, the tabletop man.
All this and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS PM. It is the afternoon edition of the show. It's Friday afternoon. Afternoon to you, Brian. How was your day?
It was good. It was semi-productive. Yeah. I went and got a weigh-in, and I didn't go up, but I also didn't go down. Like, even Steven this week, for some reason.
You
I
held steady. Nothing wrong with that. Happened. Sure.
Yeah, I even had Tina made spaghetti this week, turkey meat sauce spaghetti. Yeah. But that's still a big bowl of pasta. It's still, you got the noodles. Yeah. Still got the noodles.
Yeah, there's no such thing as low-fat noodles, really. Not really.
Not really, but so even with that, I'd rather maintain than gain is the...
Did you ride your bike yesterday? Maybe that did it.
I rode it yesterday. I rode it today, too. I did 10 miles yesterday and almost 5 miles today. See, I think that's going to be my thing. During the week, alternating 10s and 5s, and then a 25 on the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday.
And when's your thing in June? When's the big race thing?
One Earth month from now. Well, it's 4 weeks from tomorrow, basically.
Oh, okay. It's, toward the end of the year, or the month. That's good.
It's the 29th and 30th, so 4 weeks. And hey, look, I got my socks. I'm not wearing them right now. They're still in plastic because I'm going to make sure that the first time I wear my MS-150 socks, mm-hmm. it's going to be on this here show so everybody can see them.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
People can still support it. Yes, so that's where I was going.
All right,
so,
where do you go? What do you do? Tell people where to go.
You go to tiny.cc/bikecoverville. And now there's a little bit of a competition here going on. So they brought me into the team last year, right? Last year was my first year. Mm-hmm. And it was my uncle and my aunt Barb, who has MS. And they're like, oh, hey, you know, do it with us. Finally, wouldn't you, Brian? Come on. You don't have a Nurtacular this year. You don't have any excuse not to do it. Mm-hmm. Come on, join us. And that was always my excuse, right? That I always had.
Yeah, late June is always rough. You got to go to Salt Lake and make it happen. Sure.
Had preparations to do. Yeah. So I joined the team, and I think they're thinking, all right, well, it's, you know, George and Barb's nephew and blah, blah, blah. How good can he be? And I held my own. But where I'm really shining is in my donations. So it's a team of maybe about 30 people.
Okay.
And right now I'm in sixth place on the team for amount of funding that I've earned.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah. In a little bit, I'll pass. If a few more people donate, I'll surpass Barbara Kwas.
Oh, wait a minute. Say that again. Are you in sixth place out of six, or you're number one out of the six?
I'm in sixth place out of 29.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
Go ahead and make my screen big.
Oh, hold on, Scott. Let me blow you up here. Hold on. Look at this.
Look at this little guy right here.
He's so cute. Look, he wants to play with the mic.
He does. This is Remus.
You've fallen in love with him, haven't you?
He is. I can't fall in love with him because he's not mine.
No.
When my son moves out, he takes Remus with him.
Oh, Remus.
Let's see if I can get him to meow. He's got the cutest little meow.
Let's hear it.
He starts meowing when he...
When he's stuck and can't get up.
Exactly. Yep.
That's how I get old people to make noises. I lay them on their back.
You just get them stuck in their... Yeah. Right. You get them stuck in the bed.
Yep. And then they won't move. Oh, there you go. I heard a little.
Talk.
listeners at home, he put his big old claw right on the mic.
Right on the mic. Thank you, Tristan.
That's cute. What an adorable cat.
It's like, this is like Johnny Carson when he'd have, was it Embry? Jack Embry or Jack?
Oh, no.
The guy who came from the zoo and he brought all the animals.
That was Jack Hanna. Jack Hanna, and that was Letterman, yeah.
Letterman was Jack Hanna.
Yeah,
that's right.
And they were some of the best moments in the history of Letterman ever. I loved when Jack Hanna would come on there. Oh, my gosh, he was good. All right, well, that's an adorable cat, and I want one, weirdly, even though I already have one. I really don't want another cat, but if someone said, here, take this cat, I'd have a hard time putting that cat down. He's cute.
He's a pretty good cat. I mean, I say that because he spends a lot of time in Tristan's room while he's getting used to, or while Inara, let's face it, it's while Inara is getting used to him.
Yeah.
So we get him in small doses, and when he's out in, you know, out in our area, he's wanting to hang out with me and Tina because he's been hanging out with Tristan and Kay for a long time.
Sure.
But I think that if he were out all the time, it would probably get to us, because he is rambunctious when he's playful. Mm. Like, he is, you cannot push this cat away. He will keep coming at you.
Part of that's his age.
Until he cannot be stopped. He cannot be reasoned with.
No, he's just nonstop. I like a cat like that, though. I want a playful cat. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to wrestle
around. So if you want to see the kitten more, donate to my MS150 fundraiser. Oh yeah, tiny.cc/bikecoverville is where you can go. And now that I get the socks, now we got to pass Betty or Barbara or whatever I said her name was.
Yeah, let's get in there. Oh. Let's get fifth place immediately.
Meanwhile, my aunt and uncle are so close. They're like just above the bottom of the list.
Oh.
They're like, you know, they're doing what they can to raise money.
Right, but look, they don't have the reach Brian Ibbett has.
They don't have the power of... The power of the internet.
The covering of the whole ville has happened.
That's right.
All right. Right.
The ville is getting covered.
It's good to have you here. If you want more information on that, a great place to discuss it would be our Discord, which I like to pimp once in a while. Please head over to our website, frogpants.com/TMS, and join the Discord. And you might say to yourself, Scott, isn't that just for gamers? Isn't it for gamers? And I would say, no! I mean, yeah, it is, but it's not in this case.
It's for gamers, but it's not just for gamers.
No, it's like Slack or forums or anything else where people just get to communicate and talk. Not, I can tell you a ton of people in the TMS Discord are not gamers as defined by our typical play style. So I know a lot of people just like...
She's in there all the time, and she's not a gamer.
She's not only in there all the time, she's a freaking mod in there.
She's a mod. Yeah.
She has more
and
power
then there's
than
mod.
I think she has just barely one hair less power than I do in terms of running the thing in there. She could shut it all down, I think, if she wanted. But
that's actually true. Yeah, with if she joined up with anybody else, any other mods, then she could she'd have more than 51%. She could usurp.
That's right.
Usurp your power.
Now Jeannie's been around long enough. People know that she keeps a tight little house in there. So
she runs a tight ship.
So be nice.
That's right.
Don't be rude. But it's a really nice place. Don't F with Jeannie.
Don't F with Jeannie is what I was going to say.
We should make t-shirts. Why aren't we doing that?
F with Jeannie.
Don't F with me. I'm on the East Coast. I don't know where she is, actually. Is she on the East Coast? She's somewhere Eastern time zone. I forget where.
We talked about that, didn't we? The sexiest accents. There was the list of sexiest accents that came out last week, and Boston was second.
Oh, is she in Massachusetts? I didn't know that.
No, she's not Massachusetts, but she's, but that's, you know, the accent that you just did.
Oh.
You know, we're talking about, like, sexy accents.
Oh, the transatlantic thing, whatever it is. The weird.
Yeah, Texas was number one. Yeah. Boston was number two.
Yeah. What got number three?
I don't know what number three was. I know that the very bottom of the list was Long Island.
I guarantee it's not old person in Utah. There's no way it's that. Because there's an accent. And if you hang around enough old people in Utah, you'll hear it. But they sound like this. They'll go, now where down to the Walmart was I supposed to go? I mean, there's a very, it's almost like kind of Fargo, but not quite. Like, there's a weird Utah affection thing that's going on there. Very
weird. I think that accent's everywhere. I was going to say, I just came up with the list. And it's really funny. Like, I thought Long Island would be lowest in the list out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's lowest in the list out of 50. Like just above it is New Jersey, Minnesota, Alaskan accent, California Valley accent. I'm surprised about California Valley, but then you've got weird ones like Southern Ohio, Ohioan, and Appalachian.
Colorado's 39th on here. Do you see 39th? That?
39th. Yeah, where's I did. Where's Utah?
Utah's got to be on here.
14th is Uper.
How's Uper? What is?
It's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, all right. So that's the thing.
They call him a Uper.
I'm looking Chicago here.
Utah is 12th.
Utah's not only on here.
Only because the women go, "Ay, papi."
Yeah, Utah's not on here, and I don't blame them. We don't really have anything distinct, but I swear the old people have a certain way of talking. And I look forward to doing it one day.
So then somebody was saying, well, what is the Colorado accent? And somebody said that it comes down to the way you pronounce a certain word and if you omit syllables in that word. So I'm going to spell it out for you.
Okay.
Muntain.
Oh, mountain.
Okay, yeah, you do the Colorado thing, which is to, you don't really pronounce that middle T. You don't say mountain.
Like there's a city here called Layton, and everyone says Layton.
Layton. Yeah. That's what we say here too. We go mountain. Oh yeah, you're going up to the mountains?
Yeah, you're going to the mountains this weekend.
Mountains. In different parts of the country, they would say, you guys have a lot of mountains there in Colorado, don't you?
Okay, well maybe we have the same one, because that's totally a thing here for sure.
Yeah, it totally.
Well, they should just say the whole Mountain West is what they should say. We're a bunch of mountain.
right. Lump us all in together and put us all at 39. Thank you very much.
Okay, see if I can catch this. Hold on a second. I just realized. So this weird twitch I've been having in my thumb. Oh, it stopped as soon as I show it to somebody.
Well, it's also probably because you moved your hand in a different, configuration.
It's so annoying, Brian. There was one night where I woke up in the middle of the night. This is just a few nights ago. And I was numb from sleeping wrong. You know, my arm went to sleep. And so I woke up going, frick, and doing the whole thing, shaking it out. It gets all tingly, goes away, go back to sleep. Ever since then, that thumb won't stop twitching. Damn it! I pinched a nerve or something. It's annoying me. But even when it's like, it'll be starting to happen like crazy. It's like going off. I'm like, Kim, look. And as soon as I say that, it stops.
Weird.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it is a weird thing.
I don't get it. Anyway, good luck with your accents, everybody. Good luck. Got a funny thing.
They say to do when your arm falls asleep, hand falls asleep. That's when you're supposed to touch yourself because it feels like somebody else.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Shut up, really?
Not I remember once that from in junior my high life. School. Not one time have I heard that.
That was a total junior high school thing. Yeah.
Sidian calls it the stranger.
The stranger.
Oh man. But that would be like a limp, like paralyzed person. Right?
No, because you still have control of your hand. You just can't feel, like your fingertips can't feel anything.
Oh, you do have control? Because I feel like I never have control.
Right. It wasn't a movie, it was in PCU. That was the David Spade thing, right? PCU?
Sounds terrible. I've never heard this in my life. They mention it and Gone in 60 Seconds. I don't remember any of this.
I don't remember it from 60 Seconds. Oh, Scrubs apparently talked about it. Billy Connolly.
So I never heard any of this. This is all news to me. Wow. Every once in a while on the show, I will learn a thing that I should have heard in junior high. Like, that should be something I had heard by now.
This is what they look like when they get big.
Oh, kitty. Are they getting along or is she annoyed?
She's annoyed, but she's not annoyed to the point of like attack. She's annoyed to the point of, I'm just going to sit here and watch him. And if he gets close, I'll hiss at him, but that's all I'm going to do.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, our cat would hate this. If you introduced another cat into the ecosystem, he would lose his mind.
Yeah.
So I totally get that.
It helps that, that Remus has Daisy the dog on his side. Like you know, Daisy will step in if the hissing starts. She'll kind of get, okay, don't you guys fight. I'm going to stand right between you and look really nervous. Break it up, you guys.
Stop it. Can't we all be friends? animals are funny. Yeah. I had a funny thing happen today. Speaking of animals, I had the dog with me, but she didn't really play into the story. But I went to Wendy's for lunch because I thought, why not? I don't know why. It just was in the mood. And I used to hate Wendy's, so I'm kind of weirdly back on Wendy's. this new location.
Yeah, it used to be like, because they gave you the burger that had a footprint in it.
It did. Years ago, there was a footprint in the thing. I guess I've gotten over that. But at this particular Wendy's, it's also newer, so stuff's cleaner. It just felt more efficient. And I wanted to test that versus that newer McDonald's that came out with 30 McMuffins or whatever they were.
McMuffins, yeah.
So I wanted to kind of compare them. So I went there today just to get a simple, you know, Dave's single with a thing and whatever. Just a small, didn't even go large or medium or anything. Just said small across the board. Now, here's what's funny. I pull up to the drive-up window. Guy goes, good morning. Welcome to Wendy's. May I interest you in a barbecue, blah, 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 blah. Some kind of sandwich I'd never heard of. Barbecued something.
Sure.
And I go, you know, that's tempting, but I think I'm going to go with a Dave single small combo. And he goes, okay, that'll be so-and-so at the front thing.
He was really disappointed you didn't take his advice.
He was let down that I didn't get tempted into taking his thing. So maybe he gets like a commission. I don't know how that works. Maybe.
No, I'd say that either he's playing it up, which would be really funny if he does that. I used to at Taco Bell when I was working there. I used to have a lot of fun over the speaker and do voices and stuff. You get bored, and so you start doing other things. And that would be something I probably didn't do, but I would have done it had I thought of it.
Did you ever
would you like a Taco Bell Grande? Oh, okay.
Okay, I guess we can do the other one. I mean, give me an example of something you did do over the.
I did. All right. Well, this tells you about when this took place. About the time in our lifetimes that I worked at Taco Bell. But I sometimes do. Hey, thanks for coming to Taco Bell. Can I take your order, please?
Okay. Two tacos. All right. Anything else?
Tell me, did you really do that?
I totally did that. Yeah, I totally did that. And sometimes I'd do Dr. Ruth Westheimer. I don't think I could still do her voice. Hello, thank you for coming to Taco Bell. I mean, it really tells you the era, right? Like,
Like
all I needed was a freaking rich little of Taco Bell. But at one point, I think I've told this story here before, but one point this lady comes up to the window after I had done this.
Yeah.
And she says, could I talk to your manager, please?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, you know, like, crap, now I've done it. And so when I go and I get Janice, who's the manager, she just had a fancier Taco Bell uniform than me. That was basically what made her the manager.
Yeah.
She comes over and I kind of step out of the way so I can't hear what's going on. And then she comes back over and says, so Brian, that lady told me that, that you were doing some voices on the speaker and that you do that a lot, that she's been here before and you do that a lot. And I said, yeah, she says that's the reason that she comes to this Taco Bell instead of the one that's two blocks from her house. And so you're doing great. Keep it up and
really
go have yourself a bag of cinnamon crispas or something.
Jeez, that's hilarious that it went that way. Yeah. I would have been terrified.
Yeah. Totally, I know. That's because that's exactly where I thought. I mean, usually if somebody says, can you get your manager right away before saying anything else?
Yeah.
Then you're screwed. But
I should do that
more.
She
apparently wanted me to sweat too.
I should do that more just to make some, you know, teenager's day and go to some place.
Oh, that would totally make somebody's day.
Yeah, yeah. I should do that.
Well, do it to this Wendy's guy. Can I get your manager, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, your drive-thru guy just cracked me up because he sounded so disappointed that he didn't take his bacon double barbecue.
Say, it was really funny, and I like him, so give him a raise and then drive away or whatever.
Yeah.
This kid, though, what was weird is he did all that. Then I got to the actual window, and he was very nice at the window, and, you know, no nothing weird. But when he handed me the food, almost forgot about this detail, hands me the food, his thumbnail is split right down the middle.
And
two shards are sticking out with like raw thumb underneath, as if it's got, you know, something smashed it or something. And the two nails are just like flayed out from the center of the nail. And it was horrifying. It was horrifying.
Yeah. Nope.
Like I could feel it looking at it. Oh,
that is, if I ever get captured and have to give up my nation's secrets or, you know, the podcasting secrets of the world or something.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the way you get me is by threatening to do something to my fingernails.
Yeah. What if you don't have any info? What do you do? Do you lie? What do you do?
God, you know I'd have to make up something. No, it's secretly run by Adam Curry. And
Adam who was the other guy? Who was the RSS guy that was always fighting with Curry?
Yes, Weiner. Dave Weiner.
Dave Weiner, yeah. Dave so you Weiner. Can say, Dave Weiner and Adam Curry are like the Illuminati of podcasting, and they run the whole thing.
It has nothing to do with Bearded Fruit. It has nothing to do with him.
But if you play Bearded Fruit backwards, it'll tell you everything you need to know.
It's a labor of love, but I wouldn't say there's much love involved with it right now. It's the Jizz Whiz. I swear to God, it's the Jizz Whiz.
It really is. Bad Gay Movies. I'm not just making fun of gay people. It's called Bad Gay Movies.
Gilbert Gottfried is behind all of it. It's him. It's Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's hope we never end up in a thing where we have to do anything with our nails. That'd be
yeah, bad. No kidding. Oh, before we get to our special guest.
Uh-huh.
So we now know that it's official now. The deal has been signed, inked, all that stuff. Pattinson is our Batman.
Yep, it's done.
Did you hear who else was in the running? Who the two people who was between, one of them, one of which being Robert Pattinson?
No. What's that about? Who?
Blew my mind. The other person in the running was Nicholas Holt.
Oh.
Was the Beast from the X-Men film, the first class films. And Mad Max Fury Road, I guess.
Gonna say,
he's in that thing.
He's Nux, which is really the only thing he ever needs to play again. But interesting. Exactly. Yes. That's a very, he's too young looking is the problem. I know Pattinson is too, but I'm just saying, he looks like he's 20. What do you think?
Yeah.
He's probably waiting.
I think that he does look, Pattinson does look older than Nicholas Holt. Holt is only 29. He hasn't even hit 30 yet.
Yeah, he's young. He's young. And we should all witness him because he died. Because
he's shiny and chrome.
That's right.
He plays Tolkien in the new Tolkien movie, right?
Yeah, which I guess the Tolkien family hates because they say it's not accurate, but I still kind of want to see it. Oh, hey, Dan, if you haven't, you got to accept my friend request. Sorry, Dan, I just noticed Dan hasn't accepted my friend request for me to add him.
Accept me!
Do that real quick there, buddy boy. But then also you'd have this weird situation where he plays a major character in the X-Men franchise. And then he would play the majorest character there is on the DC side. I know that happens sometimes,
that's still Foxmen. It's not MCU X-Men.
The Foxmen.
Foxmen. Can't wait to see Foxmen Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, no kidding.
Next week.
Okay, so DJ Davis in the chat says he really enjoyed this movie we're talking about Tolkien, which I think is great. I'm glad he enjoyed it. But my question is, knowing that the family says it's full of inaccuracies and they basically kind of disown it, does that concern you or anyone else in there? Would it concern you, Brian? Like
how drastic are the inaccuracies? Because Bohemian Rhapsody had inaccuracies, and
that's true.
I was all right with that.
I guess it was enough for his family to freak out, and that somehow is different. I don't know.
His name wasn't Jerry Robert Tolkien. If that's the first thing they got wrong,
it was never Japanese rigorous rancorous. I don't know why I went there. Let's go back. Hey, you guys, let's talk about, I don't know, something a lot of people don't like to talk about publicly, but it's okay. It's okay to do it. Remember those days when you were ready to go, guys? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they will work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity shows up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's again, BlueChew.com with promo code TMS to try it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show. Dan, are you there?
I'm here, buddy.
Oh my gosh, it worked right off the bat.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can see him too.
This is amazing.
I know, real dark today. I don't know why. I think because we're about to get a ton of storms.
That's racist.
So what, you turn off all the lights in the house thinking that the storm will pass by?
No, usually this time of day, this is how Scott usually figures out like what time of year it is. So if it's sunny around this time, he remembers. Because he usually forgets those things in his old age.
This is all true.
Now he knows that it's since it's light out, that it's, you know, late spring, early summer.
This is great though. I can get your picture up here.
Or actually... In North Carolina, it's actually we skipped spring and early summer. We just went to midsummer.
Yeah, you guys are hot
it's
right
been
now.
Like, oh man, it's been in the upper 90s for like a
week. Yeah, like super muggy. It's supposed to get up to 80 for us this next week or early next week, and we're all excited about it because 80 is like, you know, we can deal with that plus no humidity. But being down in the South right now, I'd rather choke to death, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody in the South would rather choke to death than listen to my accent, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Nobody likes your accent, which I don't
Although
get.
I don't have a very thick Long Island. Like, if I go back home and see my cousins, I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Do you start absorbing it?
Yeah. So I've been down here for so long that it's very muted. But I probably married like one of the sexier ones because my wife is from Fayetteville in North Carolina. So she's got the Southern Belle accent.
Yeah. The Southern Belle accent is great. It's super good.
Yeah, I don't know how that one got beat by Boston. Because all right, Texas, I get it. You know, I'd still would put North Carolina, South Carolina, all that stuff far above Texas.
I don't know how Boston got above like 75 in a 50 person thing. Because Boston accent is the worst.
Yeah, because they got to take a wicked piss all the time.
It's a wicked pisser.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you want to go sit in the back of a car? Hey, you want to go make out in the back of a car?
They all sound like Peter Griffin.
Stuff like that too. And when I used to work for Roy Rogers on Long Island, so I don't know if you've ever heard of Roy Rogers.
It's like a little cowboy guy, right?
Yeah. Sure. So I would do the drive-through, and I do a lot of voices too. But the problem is, we had a district manager who loved to come around, and they have these little contraptions that they can hear everything you say just from being in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Man, I used to get in so much trouble.
I'll bet you did.
Oh, so bad.
Well, it's funny. You're lucky because my wife lost her cool Southern girl accent when she moved up here and was here long enough. It only comes out when she's pissed. So I never hear it anymore.
Wow.
But when I get around her family, like her Mississippi family that'll be up here on visits or they'll just sort of be around, I start slipping into their accent. Like hardcore, because I spent a couple years down there, and now when I'm around anybody from Mississippi, I start saying y'all all the time and reckon and like just all the terms. I get kind of slow like this. People always ask like, how come you're always doing that crazy Southern accent? I go, because I can do it. That's why I do it. But I'll tell you what, if we have, okay, let's the three of us real quick figure out sexiest accent in the world. Okay.
In the world. Oh, I'll that's easy.
To
that's,
me, it's easy, but I want to hear yours first. Go ahead.
Shoot. Well, I was going to say easy. Australian and, but Irish. You know, you hear
it's all about
the Saoirse Ronan talk.
Yeah.
And that totally does something for
That's me. Right. The Irish, they know how to talk. And then it's the Irish and the Scottish. That's where I'm at. Upper UK.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, I heard that.
Jeez. Holy, that was like right outside my house. I might just die in a minute.
I thought you farted, but that was thunder or what? What was that?
Yeah, it was thunder.
Okay. Is that what you call it?
There goes the dog, too.
Yeah. And Coco's all the way downstairs and you can hear. So I'm sorry about that.
It's all good. I couldn't actually tell with such a low rumble, but that's some serious thunder you got going.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I don't even think it's raining yet. I think it's just kind of these storms that are popping up just kind of throw them out there pretty randomly.
It's kind of weird this year. Anyway, Dan, who's your favorite accent of all time?
Yeah, so I'm saying Irish.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to say probably the British or Scottish. I'm kind of in that little area, but I think British is I like that accent.
British
quite a bit.
Is good. It depends
actually,
on
actually my Siri on my phone
actually
is I put the British accent on there, a British female accent on my
phone. What I like is I don't like the Queen's accent, like hello, we've got to get together and fit a bit. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But what I like is like proper... northern. I like northern England, like those people.
Yes. You want a Scouse? You want like well, Scottish is up there too because Karen Gillan. People are talking about Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and Nebula from the Avengers. Yep. Yeah,
yeah.
She's Scottish and she's got a great accent.
Yeah, I gotta go Scottish. I think pretty much across the board, unless you're a dwarf male. Then I'm not interested.
As long as it's not a female terpster trying to turn you on with that. That might be a little...
Oh, different. That would be brilliant.
Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. All right. I'm going to play your theme. Your theme is this. Hold on. Whoops. Shit. Okay, here it is.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
It's time for Dan the Tabletop Man. He's here 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, man. I'll be here next week too, and then I'll be out of town. So if you guys are around next week, I'll have.
All right.
I'm going to do a little two-parter with the Origins preview coming up, but I did want to revisit. We've been quite heavy into the CBD talk lately.
Oh, the oil. Let's go yep. even deeper. What do you got?
And sure. What's interesting is today, as a matter of fact, the FDA is starting these hearings where they're investigating CBD oil and how they want to get involved with it. Part of me thinks that has a lot to do with big pharma wanting to get involved because there's got to be money there and they can regulate all that. And another part of me is safety where they can regulate a lot of that sort of stuff.
Sure. But I'm guessing there is billions at stake in that market.
And oh, absolutely.
Everybody wants
to. Yeah, and if they can get their grubby mitts on there, you know, big pharma can get their grubby mitts and it's expensive enough as it is. But, you know, if they can find out, you know, how it works and get some more studies. I did find that there actually is a product that is available that is approved by the FDA. And Scott has four seizures, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
However, I don't know if you know what type of seizures. Was it a nephew of yours?
Yes. I don't know what I want to say he had a grand mal in the night. But I think he's having smaller focal stuff during the day.
Yep.
Where you're kind of awake during them sort of thing. Kind of the way my daughter was when she was 13. And by the way, he's 12 or 13, so he's kind of in the same age range. And the doctors actually think it may be a totally same kind of thing. The one big difference is he suffers from some level of, he's on the autistic scale. He's on the, what's that called?
Okay.
The new scale. I forgot the name of the new scale. But anyway, he's on.
Asperger's or?
No, it's something.
No, it's autism, isn't it? I mean, it's.
Is it just spectrum? Autism? Spectrum. He's on the autism spectrum. There you go. Okay. Brian knew it.
Yeah.
So that may have some factor there. We don't know. But but it's a lot like what my daughter used to have, although she never had a grand mal and he's had at least one.
This medication that they've approved, it's in a liquid, and the brand name is called, I think it's Epidiolex.
Okay.
You can only get it through specialty pharmacy, but it's really only approved for a couple of different types of seizures. And these are, I'm not trying to put light over it. These are the crazy type of seizures. These poor kids that they just, you know, often can't go, you know, like an hour without a bunch of seizures. It is Dravet syndrome and Lennox-Gastaut syndrome are the two types of epilepsy and seizures. And like I said, they're generally infants and young children that get these type. And it's a liquid which seems to help with keeping these seizures a little bit more under control. So it's not really approved as much for the, you know, the elder population, but I think they're doing some more research. But the funny thing of it, we can get back into the less serious, more funny is you'd be damn surprised to know how many drugs in this world, when you look at mechanism of action, it's like, we're not really sure how it works, but we think it works like so-and-so. So it's amazing. And it's usually things like seizure disorders or depression and anxiety and stuff like that. They don't really know how the hell it works. They just know that it increases your serotonin and norepinephrine and things like that. So that's the big thing about like the CBD right now is they know receptors that it hits. And one of the receptors that I did see was the GABA receptor. And there's a drug called gabapentin and Neurontin. You may have heard of that medication.
I have, yeah. The GABA, you know, they got a lot of GABA talk when she was having her seizures about blood-brain barrier, and it's hard to change your gamma volume thing deal. I don't know. I don't remember.
And it's like I was saying last time, where a lot of that has to do with a lot of the firing of the neurons. And gabapentin is used a lot for... it's all neuropathic pain, and they use it for seizures. And now, of course, it's being abused, and it's actually a controlled substance in certain states because the active metabolite of that actually is Lyrica, which is a controlled medication that there's a lot of euphoria from that. But I also use that for things like, again, seizures, depression, pain, it's escaping me. Sorry. It's different types of pain.
Benzos right? Like benzos get used for stuff like that. But they're also a controlled substance, can be abused. I could totally see that. Go ahead.
And that's where I think they're getting a lot of that usage for, where I think they'll use some of the CBD oil for, and that's where you're going to get some of that effects for, because it is going to work with some of those receptors. So you may see some more medications, maybe in some tablet or capsule form, or just a tincture, you know, kind of like what you bought was the tincture type for, you know, under the tongue and stuff like that.
I hate that word extract. Tincture. Don't you hate that? Tincture?
No, it seems nice and fancy.
Hate it.
Totally. Yeah.
No, it seems like some old guy, some old British guy with a cart driving around town going,
You know, all you need is a tincture and you'll be right as rain. F you. And tincture.
Oh, you would hate
tincture. Tincture. It'll last
then.
Longer.
Oh, the eau de pois system and all these other, and drams and grains and all that crap. You would hate that. It's all sorts of old timey stuff. And the way they write, and half of the abbreviations are all, they mean weird crap. And it's just like, can't you just say one, you know, things like QD, BID, TID, yeah. They all come from the old English or Latin and stuff like that. So. You would hate that.
It's just that snake oily sound and dumb stuff. But I like Brian. Brian got me at take a tincture.
Take
it'll
a
last
tincture
longer.
It'll last longer.
Yeah, that should be that should be somebody's CBD oil advertising campaign slogan. It's pretty good.
What's interesting? You know, I was talking about how like the FDA doesn't have as much regulations right now for it. My wife was telling me a story that they are trying to find their, you know, go with a certain supplier in North Carolina for their CBD oil that they do sell at the pharmacy. And out of about, I think there was probably about 20 to 30 different people trying to sell CBD oil in North Carolina, only two would let them tour the plant.
Wow.
So that tells me there's some fugazi crap going on in some of these other places. If a pharmacist who wants to do business with you can't even tour the place.
Yeah, that's funky. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem with this. As much as we all cringe at the word regulation, when it comes to stuff we're putting in our bodies on the regular, I think it's kind of important. Like the Food and Drug Administration. I'd like my bananas not to have freaking horse sperm in them, you know?
Yeah, so sure. They went to tour one of them, and she said, so that one of them was like upteen, it was like a clean room. One of them was like the most immaculate place. You want to die in this place. The other one, there's people, there's not even hair nets or gloves, and they're pouring capsules in the in bottles, and there's like, somebody guy was tracking mud across the floor. She's like, what the F is going on here? I'm not buying this crap. Because, you know, there's no OSHA in places like that when you're not regulated and doing that. I mean, even in my pharmacy, like, you can't have open-toed shoes and, you know, there's different dress. And we're just counting tablets. We're not, like, we're not compounding at my place. So, you know, that makes you really wonder what the hell is going on at these other 20 places that they won't let you in there.
Yeah.
Just to see the operation. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty common in pharmacy and stuff like that to let people go in and see how you work if you want to, you know, if you're going to be their supplier and stuff like that.
Sure. Did you if you mentioned counting tablets, if you had to estimate how many tablets or capsules you saw today, just today at work, what would that number be?
Oh, wow. I would say probably 10 to 20,000.
Jeez.
Wow.
Because do you have to use a little metal thing and a funnel to get them into bottles?
No. So I don't do, you know, with pharmacists, we don't do any of the counting. We have great technicians. Yeah. And there's also a lot of, we have Parata machines, which do a lot of the counting on their own.
Sure.
And I do a lot of right pill, right bottle on Fridays, which is good because I can sit there and just listen to podcasts and just and check scripts. So, you mean each bottle that I'm looking at is got anywhere from 30 to 90 to 200, depending on what drug it is. Like Neurontin, people use that by the truckload. They may get 360. So I'm checking three big bottles.
Yeah.
So, and in a regular day, it's not uncommon for me to check 2000 pieces, you know, 2000 scripts in a regular day, an 8-hour day. So, I mean, figure that's tens of thousands. I checked it out. So I've been at this place almost 7 years.
Yeah.
I've checked, as far as bottles go, I've now checked over 1 million bottles.
Oh!
Wow. Wow.
It's unbelievable.
That's a lot. That's quite the overdose if you took them all at once. Sorry.
What were you hearing saying, that you Brian? Do that, though, totally makes sense, right? Because, like, somebody goes and gets a frozen pizza, a little tombstone pizza. They take it out of the box. Oh, no, it doesn't have any pepperoni. Doggone, I'm taking this back to the store. But somebody... You know, you hand them a little bottle, right, with these pills in it. They don't even care. They don't check. They don't make sure. Oh, well, it says X54936 on the, imprinted on the pill. I know that's the right one. They just I'll take one of these every 4 hours. And
One of those things where it's funny. Sometimes people will call up and depending on where they're at, you know, there's different distributors, different generics. Sometimes they'll say, can you identify this? And usually you'll go to a website that has Identidex where you can type things in. But sometimes it's fun to see, like when they give it to you, you're like, can you get this automatically? And you'd be surprised. I mean, again, I've been a pharmacist for almost 20 years. So you can tell what certain things are.
Sure. No, you get an eye for it just like any other thing. And I'm guessing you get really fast.
And it was fibromyalgia was what I couldn't remember.
Oh, fibromyalgia. That's a rough one.
That's the pain that a lot of people use with Lyrica and gabapentin.
Isn't that the one where you're just hurting all the time? Everything freaking hurts.
Yeah. So here's a little, maybe it's more my theory or behind baseball. It's if there's a pain that they can't figure out where the hell it's coming from, oh, it's fibromyalgia.
Oh, because they just because they default.
It's just a blanket diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that. I know somebody who's got that diagnosis, and even they think that it's just because they can't figure out what it is. He's like,
and normally
I think,
it's because you know, your neurons are firing and just causing you pain, and they just can't figure out why they're firing. And they're trying. That's why actually with that diagnosis, a lot of times those meds will work. But a lot of times with things like Lyrica, and this is another secret about pharmacists, we think everybody's a druggie. So
just assume because they step up everybody's to the counter.
I mean, I'm getting a little bit less of that in my old age. I'm just like, here, just take the stuff. Let me go home. Here,
right,
have it.
Right. But I
almost
mean,
everybody comes through the door. You know, people come in, they're like, oh, hey, do you have the Percocets with the 512 on them? Oh, really? You need those particular ones? Or you know, can I have the Valiums that look like a heart? So, you know,
is that a thing? Say they have Valium to look like hearts?
Yeah, that's brand name Valium. It has like a V in it. So it's like a heart.
Oh, okay.
So the big adage is brand name is for selling and generic is for taking.
Don't get those confused with your Valentine's Day sweethearts candies.
No, that's funny. Because the name brand stuff is going to get more on the street than not, right?
Right. Well, in that they'll say that, you know, people will say that it's more potent, or they'll say that, which really isn't, but they can read that it says, oh, that it says Percocet right there. Mm-hmm. This isn't just some tablet that they've got. So, you know, they try to pass it off that way or not. So, you know, people want to buy the brand name stuff. Same thing with like the old OxyContin. They know what that looks like. And
sure.
Yeah. That's a
funny.
Different world, man.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. How brands matter there. That's just an odd thing I would never have thought about. But oh, yeah. I guess it's like anything else, right? It's like anything with a brand.
And you can tell, like, when somebody comes in and they're like, hey, my insurance might not cover this, but can I get brand of this? And you're like, so you want to pay $475? Oh, yeah, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so somebody with a plan.
You're normally on Medicaid.
Yeah.
You're normally on Medicaid, but you want to pay $475 for brand name.
Hmm.
Okay. You know, and you really can't.
It's exactly the same thing.
But how about if somebody just like me goes in to get the refill of the whatever? Like Kim just got, what'd she get? She had a UTI, so she got some antibiotics.
Macrobid?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yep.
So when she comes in and does that, does she get singled out and people go, psh, she's one pill away from being a total junkie or whatever?
No. No, they won't say anything like that. But what's funny about Macrobid, so you'll get a bottle of the generic and it'll be, you know, because the brand name company will own a generic company, and the tablets that come out of the generic bottle will say Macrobid on them.
Oh,
the capsules. I mean,
okay.
So you know, there's a lot of that goes on. So especially when a drug goes generic for first time, and the brand name's the one that'll get a lot of times get the patent for it. It'll get the rights to produce it first, exclusivity, and they just throw the brand name tablets right into the generic, and they sell it for you know not quite as much, and they'll you know insurances will still pay for it and stuff. So. There's a lot of stuff like that goes on. It's interesting.
This is unrelated, but I'm just going to tell you guys a fact I learned yesterday because it blew my mind and it's still kind of bugging me. It has nothing to do with anything that we've just been saying. Okay. There are and always will be more nipples on this planet than people. More nipples than people. Think about it. There will never be people exceeding the number of nipples in the world.
And you're just counting people nipples, right? You're not counting animal nipples?
Yes, just people nipples.
That number is astronomical.
Just people nipples. Yeah, because a dog will have like a row of six or whatever, right?
Six.
I have nipples, Scott. You want to milk me?
I wonder which one of you are going to do that. I have to say, Brian's usually pretty quick on the can you milk me, Brad thing. It usually comes out of him, but you were Johnny on the spot. Well done.
You know, and in the U.S. will still try to cover every single one of those up in the whole world.
Right. They're the worst thing. We can't see those. They'll pollute your mind.
I mean, nothing more frightening in the world than a nipple.
Monica in the chat is right. She's like, same with legs and arms, but you go nipples. No, I know I go nipples because it's funnier. It's funnier.
Right.
Nipples are funny. Legs aren't funny. Everyone has legs. That's boring. Nipples are covered up all the time. And we get weird about them, and guys get all hairy there, and even some girls do. You know what I'm saying, ladies?
Well, we get a little bit more than hairy when we see nipples, I think.
Yeah, maybe. A little bit more than hairy. That's
so
my
I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression of me. I don't think anybody that wants brand name over generic is crazy. So I'm not saying that Kim is a little nuts that she wants brand name of a certain medication or another. I just will say that if there's a generic out there, you can be rest assured that it's the same thing as the brand name.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to pay more, that's fine. But if you get a controlled substance and you want brand name, I'm still going to look at you funny.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. It's good to know. Now I will know every time I go into that pharmacy. All right.
Yeah, and sometimes insurances will pay the exact same for some people. Like people that work for Glaxo, they were the worst. So because they would come in and Glaxo, for whatever reason, they paid zero for anything in this world, whether it was brand or generic. It was just the greatest insurance ever. So of course everybody wants brand name. Got to have the real stuff. Got to have brand name. Meanwhile, you're taking such a bath as a pharmacy because you have such low margins as it is, but you're taking a bath on anything brand name, especially with those insurances. And there'll be some people that were really cool. They're like, hey, if you can't get it, don't worry about it. But if you can, you know, and it's not a big deal. So those people were pretty cool. And other people were like, I got to have my Xyloprim because Allopurinol has been around for 50 years, but I got to have my brand name.
Are they old? And
doubt's not going to fix itself.
Is that an old cranky guy a thing?
Yeah, that was, sorry, that was my
old. No, I enjoyed guy. It. It was good, but I wondered if it was like, you know, that's who mainly would do that is a bunch of cranky old farts. Probably.
Yeah.
Well,
so, hey, how about some board games?
Let's talk about a way to spend our weekend.
Yeah. There's one that I've been meaning to ask you if you've played.
Okay.
Then you can get to your recommendation, but obviously we've talked on this show about Guns Shown Clever and talked about the app. The sequel is coming out tomorrow or this weekend. Doppelt So Clever. So yes, doubly clever. Have you had a chance to play the sequel yet?
Yes, I've played way too much Doppelt So Clever. I don't know if you picked up the app for that as well yet.
No, there's an app for that.
Yep,
damn
there's
it.
An app for that.
Another $6, I'm sure.
I know where your toilet time is going this weekend. So
yeah, probably.
Let me tell you, it is way freaking hard. It like you really? Can kind of get Gonshon Clever after a while, but Doppelt So Clever is hard. Like I don't know if I've broken 200 more than once or twice in that game. It's really hard. Things are a little bit different. So, and again, there's probably a video like you were talking about, like with Gonshon Clever. There's probably a video for Doppelt So Clever. Maybe I need to watch it again because there's, you know, the tutorial in there, and eventually you figure out how things are scored. But getting the tempo and where to go in this one, because you know they have all the different areas again and the different colored dice, and there's a couple more special things that happen where you can actually take a die that you use and you can actually use a special thing. You know, like they have the rerolls and a plus one. There's one that actually puts a die from your pool back into where you can roll it again, which is
really
cool.
Okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
Really, really.
What's this one called? Ibit. Sorry, the name of the
Doppelt Doppelt So Clever.
What a weird.
Actually, in the app store, it means twice clever.
Yeah, twice as clever, because that's what it means. It means twice as clever.
Oh, good, because what language is this that this dude speaks?
German.
It's German.
And so, Doppelt so clever is, they don't have German words for clever, so clever?
Clever is clever.
Yeah.
Word. Oh, all right.
And I think it's Wolfgang Warsch is who made that, so I'm pretty sure that he's German.
Well, I say nine to all of that. They should make another, do something else.
Mark Schnell.
Oh, there
that
it
might
is.
Might be your high score clever. On that
Stop
one.
Stop stepping on the keyboard, right, Chad.
So the twice as clever is just an uptake of this? Like it's just a
sequel. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the only thing is kind of the mechanism of how you would play multiplayer, where when you were done with your dice, other people can take the dice that you haven't used. So that's the only thing that kind of carries over, plus the main systems of it.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, this is neat. All right.
It's such a confusing board the first time you look at it. It's like, oh my God, look at all these spaces and squares. And
yeah, but you even like kind of speak the language a little bit. So you kind of know, like, so the yellow, you can, when you take one of the yellow, you can unlock different things in each row or column,
but
you have to do it twice because you do a circle around it and then an X. That's how you score in the yellow.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
the blue actually goes down. Like you have to start with the highest number and go down from it.
Yeah. Okay.
The green, the first number, they're in like pairs. The green, depending on the die you use there, like multiple times three or times two, and then you subtract the second one of the one you put there.
Oh, it's a that's a little minus thing. Okay.
Yeah, and that's how you get those scores. The pink is just the straight number, kind of like what the orange was, except you have to get a certain amount of pips. You know, it has to be a higher number.
Be higher than a certain number after you get past the second or third.
Right. So you can actually still place it there. You just won't, like the green, you couldn't place it there in the first game. In this one, if you place it there in the pink one, you can still place it there. You just won't get the special ability, and you never want to get special ability. And the thing that's in the top left, that whole gray thing, my God, that's where all the weird crap goes on.
Yeah, I saw that because it's all different colors. Like,
So when you take the gray die, any die that's below it actually can score in that gray area. Like you can cross off in it. Has to be below it, not equal to it. Anything below it will actually go up there. Now you'll get extra powers for the, I guess that's the column that gives you the power that you, and then the row or the left to right, the horizontal, that's what scores.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, because I see the scores along the bottom there.
Yeah, and it's not easy. Okay. That's the hard one is figuring out how to, you know, trigger off each other. The thing about Gonchan Clever is you can get into a good groove and you can kind of focus on one or two colors, and then you're just scoring the other colors because you're just unlocking so many. This one, it's not quite as cut and dry.
Yeah, that is the crazy the aspect of that. And it's like, you know, the big secret to these games, or at least Gonchan Clever, is try and build them all up equally till you get to the red fox, because the red fox is your big score.
Oh yeah, because you don't want to end up with zero and yellow and have like four or five red foxes, then you're like, oh, F.
Right, right, exactly.
Fascinating.
Because that's really, like you said, that's the key, is the foxes on there.
It's got a good review on Board Game Geek, so that's good, I guess. Yeah. Still the standard, right? That's where everyone goes to get their
scores. Everybody still goes to Board Game Geek. They're, depending on which type of game, like it's kind of hard sometimes to decipher the ratings and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the meta for the different ratings is a little weird, but pretty much you can tell just by looking at some of the ratings, because you're going to, you know, kick out the top few ratings and the bottom few, all the tens and all the zeros, and then see what people are saying in the middle. You know, or watch a review, one of the video reviews, or read one of those is how to do it.
This is what I wish the name of the game was. I'm gonna play this German phrase right here. Oops, hold on.
That's right, Hannah.
No,
you guys ready?
This is not it at all. Sorry, this is the one right here. I wish this was the words. That's what I want.
Then he just puts the music in the background as you're playing.
Yeah, Rock of Ages,
right,
baby.
Yes, exactly.
It's good
yes.
stuff. All right, well, this is a cool thing. Oh, Dan, you had a recommendation outside of this, though. What were you?
Yeah, I was just going to run through a few games. And the good thing about these games is since there's not a whole lot of info for any of these games, like two of them are for try and two of them are for buy for Origins. I'll just give you one each. That way we can wrap it up. But and next week I'll give you the other one. Right. I think you guys actually got a copy of Fickle.
Brian did. Didn't you get Fickle?
Oh, yes. I didn't realize it was called Fickle. Yes, I did get a copy.
That's a lot of fun. That's with the fairies. That's from Glenn Cotter. That's on, I think it's still on Kickstarter right now. It's funded. I highly recommend it. It's not very expensive, but it's a really pretty cool game. I like these kind of card games where you're kind of getting into each other's minds. Brian, did you already explain how to play or anything like that?
I talked about it. Yeah, that you basically are, I think they've even done some, of course they've done some ads on the show, and I explained that you're basically forming fairy alliances, and you want to kind of get the good fairies in and kind of take out the less powerful fairies, or the ones
right
that are
so you're trying to get different sets. Like, you don't want to have too many pairs, and you want to have different numbers. You either want to shoot the moon, which is all the same type of fairy, or you want to get one of each. But the really fun thing, real quick is the person who gets the cards next to you, they put the cards in certain order, and then when it comes to you, you flip over the top card, and you got to decide whether you want to keep that fairy or you want to push, you know, or discard it and push your luck to the next one, because you don't know who screwball next to you, you know, what Scott's handing you, whether the cards you really want is the first one, or if he's screwing with you and it's really the last one. So you have to look at what fairies you already have in front of you. And of course, each fairy has different power too. So you're looking at those different things. So that's really, really good about Fickle. It's real, like I said, check that out. That's quite a bit of fun.
The art is good. Love the art.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Amy Brown is the artist behind that. And it's just really gorgeous
nice.
Artwork.
Yeah. Very, very nice. And Brian, and you got a copy of this? I got to get my hands on this thing. I guess I got to wait for the Kickstarter to be over, right? Is that how it works? I guess so.
Oh, I'm sure Glenn will send you one if he hasn't already, or I can probably forward it on to you or something.
Well, I'm curious about it. I've got his email. I'll just ping him and say, hey, what are my chances? Because obviously they've got promo decks, but I don't want to take one if they're using it for whatever. I'd rather.
Yeah, I would have assumed that when he sent me one that he was sending you one too. So
I love this artwork.
It might be one of those thousands of boxes behind you.
Yeah, actually, it's entirely possible.
I'm kidding. I can't see any boxes.
Actually, there are boxes. They're just out of view, and there's a very strong possibility. So actually, now that you say that, I think I should go through all my boxes first.
You probably should go through your boxes.
Yeah, I think I will. Well, that sounds great. Fickle it is. Kickstarter's still going. I'm checking it right now. They did fund, but they still got 18 days, which means you can get on board for the cheap. And get it while you can get it. That's fantastic.
And the one I wanted to say to buy is going to be in a Van Ryder booth. They're bringing this over from overseas. Skull Tales Full Sail. This is going to be a fun little pirate adventure where it's kind of what they call semi co-op, where you're kind of going out doing different adventures on the high seas, where you'll have an adventure phase where you're exploring. There's a journey phase where you're kind of on your boat where you're sailing the seas, and then there's going to be a port phase where you're going to be able to go buy your loot, and you might even be able to have a bit of a damn dog. You can actually you can have a mutiny where you can actually take over the captaincy, or you can just say, you know, stay together and play co-op. Yeah. As it is, but it's got a lot of nice miniatures in there. Maybe a little bit of grid movement. This one, I'm not sure what the price is going to be at the booth. I'm thinking it's probably going to be probably in that 60 to 80 range.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of minis in this game, and it looks really good. Like I said, the hardest part about this con is that there's not always a lot of information that comes out before the con for these different games, especially the try ones, you know, because everybody wants to get there. They want to wait for Gen Con for the big sales. For right now, you know, Origin is just kind of the hey, see what's coming out later, con. So
they originally did this on Kickstarter as well. $609,000. Nice
I lost
job.
Everybody. I think my internet's going out.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh. We're losing
sorry, boys,
him. But... Are you gone? I think he's gone. Oh, he's gone. Oh, I bet no, there he is. It's the storm. It's the storm.
Oh, I hope he's okay. I hope the dog's okay, too.
Yeah, I hope so as well. But this thing did $609,000, dude.
It's gorgeous, and I like these tiles that you play on look like they connect, that you don't have to connect them up corner to corner. Like, they can just connect wherever there's an exit from one tile.
Yeah.
Can connect onto another one, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. Chat room, I'm going to show you this real quick. You just
wooden
see.
Dice tower with that, too.
Yeah. Oh, everyone likes a good dice tower, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
You do.
Look at that. See? Pirates. Everyone loves pirates. Look at all those pieces. Jeez.
Oh, that dice tower is gorgeous. I just found it's like broken planks of wood and a steering wheel and
like a ship,
that's
like an
so
old
cool.
busted up ship. Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway.
That's really cool.
And they got all these figurines. That's crazy. Tons of this stuff. All right. Well, the world of tabletop. It's crazy. That's gonna do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. What a fun time we've all had today. And we hope you have as well. Don't forget, the reason this PM edition exists is because you supported us over at patreon.com/TMS. Doesn't take much. You could go in for a buck, and it's like per month. It's not per episode, because we're dumb. We were dumb when we started this thing. So take advantage
take
of our
advantage
dumbness.
Take advantage of our dumbness.
Yes, please do. And support us over there at patreon.com/TMS. If you're trying to contact us, leave us voicemails, emails, that sort of stuff, you can find that all at themorningstream@gmail.com. or frogpants.com/TMS. That's going to do it. Brian, you want to take us out with a song? You got a song? Let's do a song.
I do. And just a little quick note. Tomorrow, Tina and I are heading out for our little anniversary trip. Going to go stay in a haunted brothel in Victor, Colorado. So I'll either tweet out some photos, or I'm sure I'll talk about it on Monday.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome.
At least the parts I can talk about.
Oh, I guess we're not doing a, that means we're not doing a film, are we doing a film?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we are.
I'm leaving after film set.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's nice of you to fit that in on your anniversary.
The man in the Iron mask.
That's right. Iron. Iron congratulations, mask. By the way. That's awesome. Excited for
that. That should be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully there are stories from that.
I hope so, too.
Oh,
I
yes. Hope.
Here we go. So Cindy writes in and says, hey, boys, I'm beating you to the punch. I'm turning 50 on June 3rd. And in honor of that, my best friend Missy and her two daughters and I are doing a half marathon in Jackson Hole. Notice I didn't say we're running it. In honor of our endeavor, would you play Girl Power by the band Girl Power? You've played it before, but it's been a few years, so I'm hoping you'd be willing to do this for me. Thank you, Cindy from Scott's Eye Doctor's Office. So now you know who
Cindy
is. Cindy!
Yes, I love her. She's the best.
So I looked it up. Now, I didn't recognize this song when she requested it. And I looked back, and I've never played, to my knowledge, I've never played Girl Power by Girl Power because, again, to my knowledge, it's not a cover. However, I don't want her to get all mad at me and then take it out in your eye the next time that you're in the in the chair there. So So I'm totally going to play it. The only caveat or the only saving grace that I can offer is that this sounds like it's a cover of a Spice Girls song.
Oh,
good enough for me.
Okay.
Totally works for me. From the album The Best of Girl Power, shrug, here is Girl Power singing the song Girl Power.
See you guys Monday, and also check out Film Sack this weekend, and also There Will Be Dungeons, and also that's it. And we'll see you Monday. Bye. Go! Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You putrid lizards!